Welcome, everybody. It is BNP Weekly episode 120. So we're closing in 200 really fast. It is 29th of March.
It says then 121.
Sorry?
This invite says it's episode 121.
Is it?
That's correct.
I know. Really? It says, actually, you're 100% correct. Maybe it is in episode 121. Maybe we'll have to double check that. Well, this goes really well. Excellent start on this episode once again. Now, in the BNP Weekly, we always go through the latest what's happening in the Microsoft 365 platform in general, not just the development stuff, but the latest news and all of that stuff. And then we typically have a visitor. This time we do have a returning visitor, actually. But before we go to Paolo, my name is Tessa Juvonen. I'm a program manager in the Microsoft 365 platform areas on the platform ecosystem. And with me as a co-host is Waldek.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Valdek Mastegas, and
I'm not necessarily morning. Advocate. You can't say that. Somebody might get offended. Just kidding.
Anyways, as I was saying, I am Cloud Developer Advocate for Microsoft 365 and Microsoft. And today we have with us a guest from sunny Italy, Mr. Paolo Pialorsi. Good morning, Paolo.
Good day, everyone.
It might be an evening as well.
Maybe it is night.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
Good everything.
Hello.
I'm Paolo Pialorsi. I'm a senior consultant working in a company of my own called PSIS.com. We are based in Italy and in the US, and we help customers building or migrating solutions to Microsoft 365, and specifically Microsoft Teams and SharePoint Online. And I'm a proud and happy member of the BNP team, as well as an MVP. And of course, I'm a husband and the father of three marvelous kids. And that's it about me.
And then we're ready to close. So thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. I was thinking about exactly the same. Like, yeah, that was it.
That was fast, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so Paolo, you've been actually in the show before, but it's been like 2 years or something like that.
Yes.
In being.
What's changed?
What has changed? Actually, that is a good question. What has changed since the last time you've been in the show?
Well, Waldek changed.
What's the latest?
Waldek now is Microsoft employee blue badge, so something changed for sure. And what else? Well, PMP changed quite a lot. I mean, we have been offering a lot of tools and capabilities to the community of developers, but we also introduced new SDKs and new stuff recently. We enriched the team with a lot of cool people. I think 2 years ago, we were about something like 10 people. Now we are more than 30 people, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So the family is growing, the community is growing, which is really good and great, I think. So,
and of course, it's not just about the BNP team growing, but also community growing, as I was saying. So, but with the BNP team, BNP team is really for let's say coordinating and doing activities across the Microsoft 365 area. So, not owning or claiming anything, but helping people to gain visibility and helping people to understand the key focus areas like Graph and Teams and SharePoint and OneDrive and all of that in the platform. So, not just in the platform, but in general.
We are here to help the community to become a wider community. So that's it.
Yes. Yeah. And one thing was actually during this weekend, there was the SharePoint 20 celebration. So one thing which it's really nice to see that came up numerous times in the celebrations is also how the community and the BNP and all of these community activities are highly inclusive. And we're really aiming for that diversity, that everybody is welcome. And everybody can be part of the community if they are willing to do so. Plus the Sharing is Caring initiative, which will help people to get started. So if they feel, let's say, scared of reaching out, there's a ways of doing that. So, which is really good. It got a lot of good positive feedback during the weekend as well. So.
Yeah, and it is an interesting point, right? Because a community was around for 20 years, almost, right? I mean, it would start very early on, right? So I guess at times it might feel like, well, it's a group of these folks who know each other for ages. Like, how do I join being a new person? Like, where do I start? So initiatives like these make perfect sense for new members to join and feel welcome as if they were there from day one too.
Exactly. It's certainly not needed to be a closed club of people. Everybody is welcome. Every single person in the world is welcome to join on community activities and just reaching out, and then we'll guide people to the next steps, depending on what they're willing to do. So.
Just to make a very quick example, during the party, the SharePoint birthday party that was on Saturday last week, I saw on Twitter a person tweeting that, well, I think it was a she, so she felt kind of lost in Alt-Viara during the 3D party. And Hugo Bernier, with the sharing is caring attitude, helped her to find a way to being part of the party. So great.
Yeah.
Sharing is caring. It's really amazing. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Hugo and David and April and Luis and Veronique is
and
probably
Emily.
Emily, absolutely part of that as well. Yeah. So it's really great to see that it's the group of people leading that effort is growing as well. And the sharing is caring is really there, like I said, so helping people and onboard on community activities. So learning how to contribute in docs, learning how to contribute in samples, volunteering for videos. And I think I love the video demo. We had a community call demo pretty recently with Shandani, and she felt that she's not super confident on doing the demo. So we have a buddy system. So David and Hugo have created already a while back this buddy system with Sharing is Caring, where then David joined her on that demo, on the video and community call presentation to give support, and that was really good. So it's great to see that we're getting new people involved.
Yeah, and also it is cool because it's something that benefits you also so in your work, not only in community, right? Because like if you learn how to present, like that is a crucial skill in our work, right? Because like we can do whatever, like you can do the most brilliant stuff, but if you cannot show it to others, like the value will drop immediately, right? So through these simple, what seems simple initiatives, you can invaluably increase your skills. Right? Because like you will learn things that you will benefit from for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Now, Paolo, let's come back to you and we're going to touch the celebrations obviously in the articles. There's some really good videos. The happy birthday song is pretty awkward actually, but we'll come back on that one when we're sharing the videos and all of that. But for the past few years, Paolo, you've been working on obviously with customers and partners, but then also on the PMP side. What are the things that you've been working on the PMP side of the house, the community side of the area?
I've been involved for sure in the PMP provisioning engine and in what it was the PMP Sitescore library. I said what it was because nowadays we have the new PMP Core SDK, which is a kind of replacement, or it will be a replacement for the PMP Sitescore library. Actually, right now, we have the PMP framework, which is a .NET library mainly designed to support SYSM-like developers creating solutions in .NET Standard and .NET Core for Microsoft 365, so SharePoint Online primarily. And then we have the PMP Core SDK, which is a completely new library where I've been working in the last 12 months or more together with Bert and other folks in the PMP community. And we just released, actually, I think it was 2 weeks ago, the version 1.0 of the PMP Core SDK. And the goal of this SDK is to help, Microsoft 365 developers building solutions for SharePoint Online and Microsoft Teams using a Microsoft Graph-first approach. So internally in the SDK, we heavily use Microsoft Graph, and we fall back to SharePoint REST APIs whenever there is something that it is not yet available through Microsoft Graph. And the overall idea is to provide a modern developer experience, so based on dependency injection, asynchronous programming, language-integrated queries for querying data, and stuff like that. So as a modern developer, you can start building solutions for SharePoint Online and Teams using an SDK, which will speed up your development process. And I think, in my opinion, that was a great experience in my life because, you know, as a developer, I've been used to creating software solutions for my customers. So you create a software that someone will use, but it's slightly different to create a software for creating software, like an SDK is, you know. Yeah. Because you have to have a different mindset, and you have to think about a different perspective when you define the requirements and all the stuff. It was a real challenge and fun.
And all of the challenge doesn't end here, right? The versioning and all of that stuff now after the 1.0 is out. And
you need to be backward compatible. Of course, you should be backward compatible also with something else. But for sure, in an SDK, you have to be backward compatible. So
Yeah, and also for an SDK, I think the like very important thing are docs, right? Yeah. Because like when you build something for a customer, you can train them on site or virtually, but it's a very much more controlled environment. Whereas an SDK, you release it, and beyond that point, you have no idea who's going to use it and how, right? Yeah. So docs are like really important part of it. And also the thing like the mindset of not assuming that people know anything. Like you really need to start from scratch. What is the SDK? What problems does it solve? How does it work? Where do you install it from? How do you update? Like really the basics that like you probably might think people know it, right? No, they actually don't.
Well, you know, Val, I'm a developer. I don't care about docs. No, just kidding.
On that bombshell, if you are stuck in the SDK, you know why.
No, just kidding. We have great documentation in this SDK, if I can say that.
Paolo, let's put you on a spot on there, because you said that it's a graph-first SDK for developers to use. But what does it provide more than a graph SDK? So why does the success then first place?
Well, the idea of the core SDK is to help developers who are modern developers or already working developers working in the SharePoint area with CSOM and all the development techniques that we are used to use in the past with CSOM and SharePoint on-prem or SharePoint online. So, the idea is to give an easy migration path for developers moving from past development experiences to the modern development experience, and at the same time help new developers onboarding the development of Microsoft 365 solutions. And I think that in the core SDK, one of the key values that we provide is the fact that you can focus on your goal. So using the SDK, you develop your solution, and under the cover of the SDK, we make the right choice for you, meaning if it is the right choice to use Microsoft Graph because it is already available, the functionality that you want to have in Graph, or we fall back for you in SharePoint REST. But as soon as that, for example, that missing functionality will become available in Graph, we will simply change the inner working of the SDK, and you don't need to change your own code. So you can rely on the SDK, and you can keep your solution up and running, always based on the most recent technology and most recent API. And that's a key value, in my opinion.
So that is an interesting point, right? Because like over time, we've seen a number of SharePoint REST APIs become available in Graph. And if you, for example, look at things like sites or files, like the shape of them in Graph is different than in SharePoint. So if you say that you will gradually expose more SharePoint workloads internally through Graph, like as they become available, what does that mean for being backwards compatible in the SDK?
Well, in the SDK, we have built a domain model on top of the APIs. And as such, a developer will be able to use an object that we call PMP context, which will give you access to the current development context, which means the SharePoint Online site in which you are, and eventually the team in Microsoft Teams backing the modern team site in which you are. And then you use a domain model that we designed. You use a query model that we designed based on link language integrated query. So, and under the cover, we translate all of your requests to the target API. So that's why we will be backward compatible, because you will keep on using the high-level domain model and the high-level query model, and there will be an abstraction exactly on top of the backend APIs that we use for you. And just to make an example, we always and by default use and rely on batching to improve the quality of your code and to reduce the probability to be throttled. So you don't need to think about what should I do to avoid as much as I can to be throttled. You simply use the SDK and we do that for you. So that's the overall idea. We try to help developers building better solutions, backward compatible, and which will automatically upgrade to the newest and greatest updates in the Graph SDK. That's the idea.
So technically, just to oversimplify things, so this means as a developer, you do not need to have a NuGet package, see some NuGet package available. You don't need to have an understanding of the SharePoint REST API or the difference of that one to the Graph API. Correct.
Correct.
And also, is it the case that you don't directly, so the objects that you get back from the SDK, these are not the objects that come from Graph, right? That is your own abstraction layer on top of that.
Yeah, precisely.
Gotcha.
So it was quite a huge work to build the domain model, to design the domain model, to think about the query model. We went through multiple releases of the query model across the release of the betas of the product, but now we are at version one, we have a stable release and we are happy about the result. For example, we are quite proud of, just to give you an idea, of the paging, continuous paging that we provide. So when you want to go through a set of items in a list or in a set of messages in a team chat, you don't need to think about paging. You simply can make a query, an asynchronous query, and you can use the iAsync enumerable interface to go through all of the items. Behind the scenes, we will do paging for you. So you simply say, give me the items. I don't care about paging. And you will get all of them one step at a time. And we will do all of the paged requests for you. And we will give you back data. But under the cover, the request will be efficient, scalable, based on paging, all transparently for you. I think it's cool.
That's really cool. It's so cool that Waldeck froze. So.
Yeah. Waldeck is speechless.
Exactly.
Once in his life, at least.
I really was following up on his video. He's like, "Oh, that's now he's interested. He's really interested. Now he's really listening." What did you say?
Wonderful.
We'll probably get him back in a second. Waldeck.
Okay.
It's okay.
Okay.
You don't have to.
You can smile now.
You can smile.
You keep on saying that I don't smile, but Waldeck was not smiling today.
he's coming back in a second. Good. Let's wait for Waldeck to arrive back and continue the discussion. It's just easier that way. As we're waiting him to arrive, we can see a lot of books on your background, actually. How many of them have you written? All of them.
Written 11.
11. Okay. Yeah. So, not all of them. So.
No, I read all of them. I don't remember them, but I read all of them. But just 11 were written by myself.
Yeah.
Hello, Waldeck.
Hey.
Welcome back.
Welcome back.
Thank you.
You were so concentrated. Look,
I know.
You were just amazed on the information what Paolo was providing. So.
It was. I was totally, like, it was so much that, like, my connection dropped.
Exactly.
It just couldn't handle all the awesomeness. So
yeah.
I was like, whoa, this is so cool.
But the automatic paging is really cool. So it's all good. So it is.
It
really
is.
Cool.
I mean, all the data you will get immediately, right? Like,
No, but coming back on, as an example, coming back on that one, that's actually a really smart thing, because it's still over the every single day almost, you can see somebody asking about the 5,000 list view threshold limit in SharePoint. So, and then the answer is use paging.
Just fix it.
Fix what?
The limit. Remove the limit. We're in a cloud. Scales
because it makes perfect sense to query 30 million items at once, because of course you need to show them at the same time.
What's the problem?
All of them.
Yes, all of them at the same time.
One page. Like,
in
maybe
one page.
I want to
in one view.
Yeah.
On one screen. In JavaScript, in client side.
Exactly. Exactly.
I want to count the number of eyes across all titles in all items.
Oh, I don't want to even predict how much memory that browser session would actually consume in that case. So
I have 16 gigs of RAM.
Yes, you do. What everybody has.
what?
I have 64. Exactly. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. What is the issue then? We can offload some of the load to your workstation.
Yes. If only Teams would work faster. Anyway, so
Not a problem here.
So one of the things what you're, Paolo, also doing, coming back on concentrating on visitor, is that you're actually releasing once a week, you're releasing a new video. And you've been doing that for quite a few years actually already. So what's the objective of that? So what are you targeting to do?
Yeah, I've been doing that for almost 2 years and a half or something like that, yeah. I simply decided more than 2 years ago that I wanted to share on a weekly basis my own experiences while developing Microsoft 365 solutions. So every single week, on average on Thursday afternoon Central European time, I release a video between 5 and 10 minutes. Long video, and there you can find the information about how to develop with Microsoft Teams, with SharePoint Online, Microsoft Graph, PMP, and all that kind of stuff. So if I can do an advertisement, subscribe and follow my channel.
So is it all based on your work, or do you also look around you and think, hey, this is a new piece of tech I want to try, I'll do it, and then you record a video?
Both of them, to be fair. So at the very beginning of this series of videos, I was just covering topics were related to stuff I was doing during my daily job. Now I'm at video 147, if I'm not mistaken. So when I want to record a video, I also try to cover new stuff. Like, for example, nowadays I'm covering PMP Core SDK. I cover the Yo Teams version 3 generator and stuff like that, just to try to help, again, try to help the community to see what is available, what you can do with the technology that we provide as a community, and to try to help people speed up the learning process in order to develop the right way, hopefully the right way, Microsoft 365 solutions.
Now I have to ask, because somebody is thinking this and listening and looking and listening to this discussion, either in audio or video, and thinking like, well, but why do you want to help other people? What's with that? Why are you going to devalue your
why not
skills?
No. Well, first of all, I love helping people, so I think it is a good thing. And every now and then I get help from others, so why not giving it back?
Exactly.
First of all.
Yeah.
And secondly, I want to be very clear. I think that helping people creates also business opportunities, because why not? I mean, you can help someone, then you can become friends. You can also do some business together. So why not? I mean,
yeah. I think that's been probably one of the big, let's say, values of blogging already a decade ago or 2 decades ago, or doing videos, is for sure all of the business opportunities and building a presence in social media and building a presence in the industry, so that people know about your skills and know about what you can do and what you can deliver. So
yeah.
Is it actually generating then more work for you and for your company?
To be fair, yes. There are people that reach out to me just saying, I saw your video about X, Y, and Z. I need to create a solution based
work
on that. It doesn't work, exactly. Can you fix it? Can you help me? Because, you covered that topic 1 year ago, so most likely you know about that topic.
And
that's how it works, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we would love to. Sorry.
So I guess the only videos you haven't recorded yet are CLI, right?
Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah.
But I mean, I get it. Like, you cannot know everything, right?
Exactly.
So that is still like very much a new thing to learn. I get it.
Absolutely.
Perfectly fine.
I really.
If you need any help,
of course. I told you I want to get back some help. So.
Of course.
Happy.
Cool. Now, should we actually jump on the articles at this point and go through the things? There's actually quite a lot to discuss in the articles. So let me actually share my screen. Whenever that works.
A commercial break. We need,
break.
I think, like elevator tune.
Yes, Walter.
I'm actually like in 200 different themes, and then there's like 60 different unread messages.
Waiting for just read them.
Yeah, and reply back.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So yes.
Hello.
Just
hi.
Reply on them. Yes. Let me And it's starting. It's starting any moment.
Any moment now.
I already clicked the button. There we go.
There it is.
Excellent. So let's start with this one. So SharePoint 20 years young. And so we had the SharePoint 20 years celebration on Saturday, and there was a lot of blog posts and videos. So there's actually really cool videos related on this one. So this one is really cool. I'm not going to put the audio on, but it's actually really cool video related on how SharePoint has evolved to be what it is and what are the new and latest capabilities available. So really cool stuff. And the most and the Intro Zone podcast is really cool as well. And I think this one is really cool. I think Patrick Rogers had a good comment related on this one, that it explains why Jeff Dieper gets so much done, because there's actually six of them. So
yeah.
And this one was pretty, in quotes, awkward as well. So
a bit like
trying to sing happy birthday through Teams without synchronized audio is virtually impossible. It's just no, because whenever the feed which is recording will hear all of the audios in a different time, so it just doesn't work. So. At some point, we have seen some orchestras to do this. So I don't know if it was just the lack of skills or what was causing the problem. But anyway, moving on articles. So on the Teams side, Microsoft Teams display update on March 2021. So updates on these displays and updates on them. And more stuff is coming out across the world, which is really cool devices to put you on your table to increase your productivity. So really very cool stuff. Live transcription with speaker attribution now available in Teams meeting for English for now. So that's really cool. Hopefully it understands Finglish as well. But if you have a look on this one, and that's actually significantly better, let's say, presentation style on the discussions, what has happened. So after the call, you can go and have a look on, okay, so what was the discussion? And that's actually really, really cool. So not just what happened in chat, but during the audio. And that's really, really cool. And then you can search on that and all of that kind of stuff. So.
Well, the one thing that I miss that I'd like to see is a TLDR. Give me a paragraph of text about the whole meeting. Like, I don't want to go through summary.
That's true. Machine learning based summary. That would be actually really cool. And I can imagine that some point we'll have that. So really cool. Good point.
That would be brilliant.
Yeah.
You work for Microsoft. Make it happen. So
working on it.
Yes. You are on the side
let me
now,
get rid of that. So this one is really, really cool. So PowerPoint for Web introduced autofix, a new time-saving feature to clean up your slides. I wasn't really when I saw this first time, I was like, what? But then, okay, now I get it. And that's actually really, really cool that it's doing those things. So you can do autofix, and it actually does the connections and between the arrows. So really, really cool stuff. So additional machine learning, artificial intelligence, helping us to be more productive and delivering more value. So really, really cool stuff. And this one from the Microsoft Graph side of the house, so Microsoft Graph Mailback, getting started with the Graph PowerShell SDK. How to get started, how to use the SDK, how to get using the app ID and a tenant ID and cert to get connected, because that's the idea of using the Graph PowerShell SDK. So I need to register an application, grant the right permissions, and then I can actually use the APIs behind of the PowerShell commandlets in this PowerShell module. But good summary on what's available, what's possible, and how to do stuff, how to execute things, how to do loops and all of that stuff. So really, really cool. Good summary and good reference for the future from Matt Krause. So and he is a customer engineer. I think they were called PFEs in the past, but now they're customer engineers. Tips for using shared JavaScript runtime for your office add-ins. So while back, like 2 months ago or something like that, or 1.5 months ago, we announced that there's a shared JavaScript runtime between the office setting components. And now this is more around the tips related on how do we do that. So the JavaScript can share the code and status between a button and a task pane and a custom function, rather than having an isolated component being executed in there as an isolated instances. And that's actually really, really cool. And this is more around the tips on when you're doing things and implementing things from David Chestnut. So really cool stuff. This one, I think, Waldeck, you're part of the 7, so you should be the one who's actually telling us what this is all about.
Correct. On April 14, me and my teammates are going to organize or are organizing an event about Graph. So if you want to build an application for Microsoft 365, Graph is the API for your app to connect to it to get data and insight. And during this event, we will show you everything like going from 0 to 60. What is Graph? How do you use it? Where do you start? What are different tools and SDKs available? So definitely one event you don't want to miss. And the most important part is it will be available in two regions, two time zones. One is optimized more for America and Europe, and the other one for APAC. So we try to make it as convenient as we can for everybody to join and learn with us.
So, and just a note on that one, I was promoting this in LinkedIn on other social media platforms last week, and there was like, multiple comments already in LinkedIn, and we're basically saying, awesome, finally an event, which is also taking APAC into account. So really, really cool. So I think it's more, again, the more inclusiveness and taking it, people's time zones into account. I'm still pushing the one time zone across the world approach would be so
convenient. I mean, the Earth is flat, so well, yeah, exactly. Why not? Exactly. Like, what's the problem?
It's that. Anyway, this one, let's talk about some not that good news from last week. But hey, things happen. So we did not actually release a announcement from Microsoft side of this one, but SharePoint Framework 1.12 is deprecated. So we had a few regressions in 1.12. We did note that in the announcement blog post and in the docs clearly, and also communicated that in social media. But there was a few specific regressions which should not have been there. So we needed to pull 1.12. And right now, even you're installing and latest version of SharePoint Framework, you'll get 1.11. So all good from that perspective. And now we're building a completely new release model for SharePoint Framework to avoid similar kind of quality issues in the future. So what will happen, and we'll share more information publicly during this week, not just on this podcast and a video blog, but we will release actually a public beta. And we'll be running a public beta, which will be available in NPM for anybody in the internet to use for 2 weeks. And then after the 2 weeks, we'll release a new version. So just to avoid any similar kind of a regression, so we'll catch any issues which might have been there as part of the public beta phase for 2 weeks, and then we'll release the final version. And then when we go to the 1.13, which is coming relatively soon, and 1.14 as well, we'll use exactly the same model. So making sure that everybody can test things. And also in 1.12.1, we'll actually baseline the node to node 14. So we'll basically now do the full jump on the latest version, so we don't have to worry about that one either.
Yeah, nice.
But not an optimal situation. Things do happen. And the good thing in here is that it's a learning exercise for sure. And then it makes sure that in the future, given the public beta process and the quality assurance improvements, we'll certainly make sure that similar issues will not happen. So it's all good in the end. Well, similar issues should not happen because there's no way for guarantee for the years to come that there would not be any regressions. There's always bugs, and the question is that the quality assurance and testing and public beta will minimize those things. So,
yeah.
Good. Moving on to other things. So related on kind of on that one. So this is from
Eve.
Related on 1.12, which is still available from NPM, by the way, but you need to explicitly install that. But there are those few regressions, so we don't recommend that to be used in production. But that includes a new wide property, and the wide property basically gives you an indication of how wide is the web part. So this way, you don't have to go to the DOM structure to figure out, am I now 200 pixels, 300 pixels, 400 pixels? Are there other sections where I'm being rendered? And this is actually the logistics, which a lot of the out-of-the-box web parts are using as well to change their rendering behavior. So for example, the Hero web part renders differently when it has a 1,000 pixel wide or 700 or 300 pixel wide space. And exactly the same way you can do this. Now, is it a 100% reliable from a wide per pixel perspective? Not necessarily, but it gives you an indication on, are you alone on the row? Are you divided with other people, other web parts in the row or in the section as well? So I think it's super valuable. There has been a lot of discussion related on how much value there is for this one, but hey, it is valuable for sure.
So. Yeah.
And for first party web parts, using this significantly as well. So really good to get it for third party. This one is from Ilya, a new VS Code extension for auto-completing your Microsoft Graph APIs. So really cool stuff on the Ilya related on building Graph APIs and Graph endpoints, or knowing, getting a nice previous intelligence of knowing what's available when you're writing the Graph APIs in your code. So really cool stuff. Fetch user profile properties from site collection and export to CSV using PMP PowerShell from Sandani. Really cool stuff as well. So using PMP SharePoint PMP PowerShell online. That is actually the old version as well. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that's one of the versions. But there is a newer version which isn't SharePoint specific explicitly. But both actually should work exactly in the same way pretty much. But basically going through the user profile property values and then getting that information out for reporting purposes. So really cool stuff as well. These are really good references for writing PowerShell code. Microsoft 365 PMP Community Spotlight, Julie Turner. So good summary on who's Julie and what Julie actually does and her interests. I think these are really good. Whenever we get to the moment where we can meet face to face, it's good to know something about other people, right? So
it is good to know something about them already now, but
well, that's true. That is true. Absolutely. 100%. Now, and this is from Louis Fries, how to get started on the Graph Microsoft Graph Explorer. So how to get started on it, what does it actually do, really good stuff. And there's a lot of new people joining to the Microsoft Graph area, so it's good to have a simple clarification. What does it do? How does it actually get started? What are the options and all of that stuff? So really, really cool stuff from Louis. Using PMP Modern Search Web Parts from Will Holland from Treewheel. So really, really cool stuff as well. So these are the most widely used web parts actually globally right now. In SharePoint Online or in Microsoft 365. And they actually give a lot of flexibility on the configurations and connections and all of that. So no wonder they're so widely being used worldwide. But he will basically walk through the different configurations options and what can be done with these web parts. And there's a lot of really cool stuff which can be done with these things. So, and rendering options and layout options. And you can use the graph as the endpoint, which is the Microsoft Search with Microsoft Search, Microsoft Graph endpoint, or you can use the SharePoint Search, which is the classic search of things. So really cool as well.
Nice.
Really, really long clarification on things as well. Now, start building apps for Microsoft Teams. What is this all about, Waldeck? It's from you.
Exactly what it says about. It's about start. Like, how do you start building apps for Teams?
Yeah.
So as you said, like every day, new people join community, new people want to build apps. So how would they start, right? Like, we offer a lot of resources varying from blog posts, docs, videos, and learn modules. So it kind of condenses all of that into few resources that I think are a very good place for you to start, or for everyone to start and learn what you can build for Teams and how you would go about it.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. Really good summary blog post for sure. And this is from Joseph Velia, how to use Azure CLI to generate documentation for Azure AD applications. So basically getting outputs from the Azure AD configurations in the reporting format. So really cool stuff as well. So basically listing all of the different applications from Azure AD and the roles and permissions, what they do. Actually super useful to get a summary of the current situation in Azure AD for sure. From Abby, Albert and Scott, running CLI for Microsoft 365 in an Azure container instance. Hopefully not in those containers which are stuck in Suits. You never know. But basically walking through the process, how to do this and how to set up things using the Microsoft 365 CLI. Anything specific you want to call out in here, Waldeck? You're really the specialist on this.
Yeah, it is a very easy and a useful way to run. Like imagine that in a cloud, you want to have the ability to run a scheduled task, or you want to run CLI for something. Like being able to run it on containers is an easy way, because it allows you to install CLI, all dependencies, get everything in place without having to like put yourself into corners or go into a very heavy way like running a VM. which you would need to update and whatnot. So
massive overkill for sure. Yeah,
exactly. So it strikes like this nice balance between allowing you to run a custom tool in a cloud securely and not having to have a fully fledged OS with updates under it.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Really cool stuff. Absolutely. Now, this one is really cool from Nandeep, and he was getting credits for Smita and Ravi as well. So building a Microsoft Teams meeting app with SPFX, so basically a pre and post, and actually during meeting, you can have a application being built. And as part of 1.12, this support is now available. Well, it's technically available before that because it's only needed to have a server-side changes behind of the scenes. But with 1.12, you can embed and manifest inside of your SPPKJ file, which will be used when you sync the solution to the Microsoft Teams. And then you can actually have applications, which are meeting applications for Microsoft Teams, built really easily with SPFX. So in this case, it's more on basically let's see if I can. Oh, there we go. So basically, creating, for example, questionnaire as a pre-meeting configuration, and then during meeting, using that questionnaire for asking questions. So really cool stuff for sure. And I think the sample is available, and it walks through the whole process and talks about the configuration changes, which are really for the configurable tabs. So we're basically configuring the solution to be available and embedding that inside of the solution. And after that, we can then start showing stuff in the code. So really, really cool stuff. This one is really cool. This is a relatively new document, actually. So this is not a blog post or an article, but it's in a Microsoft documentation related on upcoming Viva connections for Microsoft Teams desktop. And this is the first, let's say, phase and first step of the Viva connections going to the Microsoft Teams. The reason why we wanted to cover this one is that right now it is, 29th of March. And actually, in 31st of March, the initial PowerShell and configuration will be available. So starting from that day forward, you can actually do this initial configuration. And again, this is just the phase one or phase 0.2 of the Viva connections. And this is called Viva connections desktop. And there will be much more released gradually during spring and summer and autumn related on Viva connections. But it's good to see step number one. And step number one will give you then the option of exposing any portal including the navigation, including the additional content, the navigation, the home page, and all of that, and actually access the internet resources as part of the configuration as well. So really cool stuff. And of course, you can configure what is in the page. So you can configure custom web parts, custom out-of-the-box web part. Doesn't really matter what you want to actually have in the page in the Viva connections. And no license costs either. So any technically any site can be exposed using this one, but if you expose the SharePoint home site, which is just the setting which you apply for a one site collection in your tenant to be the primary site collection, and that site collection has global navigation configured, then you actually get this additional panel. But technically, you could actually set any communication site, or technically a team site, to be exposed in the
Do you know if this is based on the double click in Teams when you double click the icon, then first you activate the app and then second one allows you to, is this the same behavior?
This is as part of 1.8 SDK, we included the one that when you click that one or when you double click that one, yes, then this it fires an event on the application, and then it's up to the application to deal with the things. And in this application, the SharePoint actually knows then that it's actually showing this panel. But technically, that option is available for any custom application which is being built for Microsoft Teams as well. So it's part of 1.8 release back in August last year. So how would I know that? I don't know. Memory works in a weird way. Now, Paola, your turn. We talked about your YouTube channel already a bit. Anything much you want to call out in here?
Well, for sure, the latest video, the one about PMP Core SDK authentication model, I think it is an interesting one. Sorry for saying that, but it covers the different flavors of authentication.
No reason to apologize, Paolo. It's okay.
So we I cover the different flavors that you have to authenticate in the PMP Core SDK. And I think it is really useful if you want to start using PMP Core SDK, because sooner or later you will have to authenticate against the target platform. So why not starting from here? So why not?
Absolutely. What SDK do you use internally in the PMP Core SDK to authenticate against AD?
Microsoft Authentication Library. So we built a layer on top of
MSAL.
MSAL.
Okay. Is there a reason why you wouldn't go with the Azure Identity Library, which also gives you the access to credentials like Managed Identity or VS Code VS credential?
I would say there are two main reasons. First of all, we started creating and designing the SDK when the library you're talking about was not yet available. And secondly, because of that course. One internally using MSAL. So at the very end, we didn't want to build a wrapper on top of a wrapper. otherwise.
Wrapper on top of the wrapper, on top of the wrapper.
Yeah.
On top of the, but that's how the abstraction works, right? You're just making one step at a time. It's more easier to consume. So, but yeah, really cool video on that one as well from last week. And then we had a cool video from April Dunham related on SharePoint list formatting for grouped views. She has a lot of great videos as well, which is really, really cool. Cool demos and capabilities on her YouTube channel. And then last but not least, Chris O'Brien, who was visiting us from the PMP Weekly a week ago or week ago. Also had a summary related on Ignite 2021 announcements. So just making sure that everybody's up to date on the key announcements on different areas and kind of calling out the slides and the key topics and key summaries on what has been announced. I think when the events are remote, it's much more difficult to find always the summary of things. And there's so many events nowadays, right? So it might be difficult to find out. So these kind of blog posts are really, really useful. But cool. What happens this week? Anything interesting?
MVP Summit.
Oh, that's true. It is MVP Summit. Oh, I'm a moderator there as well in the Office Developer Academy.
Starting today.
Yes.
Yes, correct.
Yes. So today at 8 a.m. Pacific time is the first, it's the main keynote from, there's also multiple keynotes, but there's Jeff Diebers will have a one session and then multiple sessions following up on that as well. So throughout the week. And unfortunately, not all of the community members can get to MVP Summit. But like we said, every single week there's a one remote event.
there is an event somewhere.
Yeah, so in MVP Summit, it's under NDA. So we're kind of talking about the future announcements as well. So covering what are we planning to announce publicly later on. So covering, for example, the upcoming adjustments for Viva connections and extensibility options over there. What does it mean for the Microsoft Teams platform and all of that stuff. So really, really cool stuff in the discussions for sure this week. So anything else?
Paolo.
Well, for sure, another video on Thursday.
About what?
I was planning to talk about the query model of the Core SDK, PMP Core SDK, because I think we need to dig into that one as well. Not necessarily all the SharePoint developers know how to query with Link, so why not covering that topic? And then we'll see. Maybe starting from next week, I will start covering Microsoft 365 CLI. Who knows?
Woohoo! Excellent.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
What perfect. About you, Waldeck? What's on your table?
A lot.
Is the Craft event already filmed and ready to go?
Sorry, what?
The Craft event, is it already recorded and filmed? And
it is a live stream. It is a live stream.
Okay, it's a live stream. Okay, got it.
So we wrapped our work on a demo app for the event. That is one. Two, we are going to launch a new learn module about Graph this week. So you stay tuned for our that. I'm going to start work together with a colleague of mine on a new module for a Graph around MGT, the Microsoft Graph Toolkit.
Yeah.
I'm also working on APR to extend one of the building parts of that this week. We also have a release of CLI this week because it is end of month. Is there anything else? There's MVP Summit. Probably 20 million other things on my plate. But yeah.
And then it's Eastern and the Friday is off.
On Friday, yes. On Friday, there's a bank holiday, correct? True. So it's a short week, but nevertheless,
as
yeah.
Well, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah, correct. So that's across Europe. And US doesn't actually. US doesn't have this, but across Europe, pretty much everybody has Friday off and Monday off. So
yeah,
because of the Eastern. Yeah. So for me, MVP Summit and then Oberse 112. We are doing the internal validation and testing and doing improvements on that side before we go and start the public beta and getting ready for that process as well. I think it's in the end, this is really good because then whenever there's 113 and 14 and 15, we're going to follow up on this exactly the same process. So much better quality assurance. That's always good.
Have you already thought about V2? Like it is a model that's been around for 4 years now.
Yeah, 4 years.
Exactly, that's right. Great. So it's like it gathered over time as any other thing you would ever build. It gathered things that you might probably want to revisit, and a V2 might give you that excuse. Like, okay, now we can officially break.
It's the break, yeah,
V2, exactly. Like, yeah, like exactly. Clean up, maybe realign stuff, rename stuff, I don't know.
Isn't it like the graph where we have V1? We have been having V1 forever.
I mean, well, yeah, but it is additive, right? And I guess SDK is different than an API. So, yeah. It's even more than just an SDK. It is a model with toolchain and an SDK, sure. Right? So I guess it might be. Like there are more moving parts around it, but anyway, like any plans or any thoughts even around that direction? It's like no, we are going to stay on V1.
Yeah, well, I think that there's a lot of thinking, and there's been long-term thinking related on extending SharePoint framework for other areas and new areas, because the idea of having automatic hosting free for developers to make the development experience as easy as possible is super valuable, and that's one of the key value propositions for SharePoint framework and why it's been so insanely successful. Tens of millions of people every single month are using SharePoint framework components which are built by third party. So obviously there's this we broke 200 million monthly active users in SharePoint Online pretty recently. Jeff talked about that one in Ignite. And the fact that SharePoint framework third-party components are being used by tens of millions of people in a monthly basis, that gives you a scale of how widely it's being adapted. And it's just mind-blowing. But then extending that to the other areas is an ongoing discussion with a lot of the organizations. We'll see if that will happen. When something happens, how it will be done. I think there's a lot of value on the automatic hosting and the optimized, polished publishing with CDN and all of that stuff. Comparing on forcing everybody to always set up an Azure AD application
and auth. Don't forget
and
auth
and dealing the auth and everything. Now the single sign-on with Teams is easier nowadays, but still there's the auth and other the app IDs and secrets and all of that stuff, which is super complicated. Well. Not when you know how it's going to be done, but if you come as a new developer, you're like, well,
everything
what
else,
do I need to
right?
do with this stuff?
It's simple if you know how it works. Yeah.
Exactly. And SharePoint framework is just WebStack development. You spin up a React component and you're good to go. And you're being hosted automatically. So do we extend that to new areas? Again, ongoing discussion. I'm pretty sure that will actually eventually happen. There's this lot of competing interests inside of Microsoft. Like you can imagine, there's always internal discussions across organizations who's going to do what where. But given the track record of SharePoint framework, well, we'll see. So even with the recent 112 regression issue, the track record on the usage side is really good. So we'll see.
Cool.
And there was actually, I have to say, that there was a discussion at some point to rename SharePoint framework as shared platform framework. So, because that would mean that we wouldn't have to change that. Because that actually, unfortunately, SharePoint as a term has negative implications for some people internally in Microsoft. So using an alternative name would reset the situation. Maybe that's the V2, the whole thing. Who knows? We'll see. Who knows?
If I can ask, talking about version 2 or whatever it will be, I'd like to see native support for React hooks, and definitely I'd like to see support for server-side code. I mean, being able, like you can do, for example, in a team solution built with your teams, being able to have server-side code running on Node.js developed as part of the solution that you build with SPFX. So not anymore just client-side code, but the capability to have something on the server side. That's my wish for Christmas, because we are close to there, right?
Sure, but what's just out of curiosity, what's actually, this is a good discussion point for sure. What's the difference of you using the YoV tree right now for the server side and then SPFX for the client side?
That I will have to manage two different projects, and it will make the solution a bit more complex, but
sure.
Of course, you can use Node.js by yourself or your teams, which internally provide support, native support for Node.js on the server side, and then SPFX on the client side. For sure, you can do that. Yeah.
Well, then, like, if you need server side code only for APIs, like, why would you use Yeoman, right? Like, why not just go with the Azure Function CLI and just build a function? Like, why? Like, what is the value of Yeoman for teams for building an API for SPFX?
Because there's multiple options. That's always, we want to provide options.
It's almost like you would be saying, let me take React Server just to build an API in functions in Azure. Like, sure, it is an option, but does it make sense? Nah.
Well, you can use this scaffolding tool to easily generate the code base of a bot that you want to use in a solution that you're creating,
yes.
For example.
If it is a bot, absolutely.
Yeah.
So why not?
Yeah. If it is a bot, yes, absolutely. That makes sense.
Anyway, that's a good... Yeah. That discussion can go on for a long, 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 long time. But what about this CLI and this Yeoman and this one? It's like, no, too many tools. Yeah, no.
Exactly. And we haven't even touched tooling that is available for bots, specifically for bots.
Exactly.
Because it also has Yeoman CLI. So.
True. But cool. I think we'll close up for the day. So thank you, everybody, for watching or listening, depending on which format you are using. And we'll be coming back with a new PMP Weekly. This was, by the way, PMP Weekly episode 120. So I was correct.
Correct.
I need to go and double check.
Episode 121 coming in a few days.
Coming in a week. Yes. That's
The week is debatable because Friday and Monday are off. So.
Ah, that's true. Yes. Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, we're releasing one day later, most likely on the following week. We'll see.
Yeah.
But thank you, everybody, for watching. We'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Cheers. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.